And so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you all for those who are joining in. We have, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. Every time you hear a ding, as you just did, that is somebody else joining in on the phone line. We are still a few minutes before the hour. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Alaska.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the call. How are you doing today?
Oh, just great.
All right. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
All right.
Tamino.
Michael, yes, I do hear you coming in and out. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. All right. So as it was announced actually yesterday in the Syndic Grid Healing Call, tonight we have an interesting subject, which is we will be talking about with our sources regarding the frequencies and the mathematics, the initial parameters of time and space. And I'm interested in listening to this. All right. Marilyn Oxford, will you stand by here for a moment? I need to answer another phone line.
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yep. Sorry, didn't greet you. Hello, and welcome to Monday's conference call. Please say your name and your location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
I'm shoveling, Don.
Yeah, I guess that.
Thank you.
This is Leon in New York. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Leon. Welcome.
Hello, Leon.
Hello, everyone.
Part of New York are you in, Leon?
In Queens.
Oh, okay.
This is my second time.
Welcome.
All right.
Welcome.
Yay.
Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city, if you get a chance.
This is Steve now, West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve.
Hello. Please state your name and your city when you get a chance.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Did Hives not show up?
Oh, no. He's here. He's here. He
John
just had to answer
Las
another
Vegas.
Line.
John from
okay.
Las Vegas.
Welcome, John.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. Hello. Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city when you get
this
a chance.
Julianne in San Diego.
Hi, Julianne. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to Monday's conference call. Please state your name and your city when you get a chance.
Yes, hi.
I'm not in
Jane in Philadelphia. Cleo.
Hello, Jane.
Nanda.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Dharmananda.
Hello, Dharmananda.
Hello, Dom.
Hi. Welcome.
I heard Dharmananda there.
Yep.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey.
It's me.
You'll be assertive.
Nice to have you.
Nice having you.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Dharmananda.
Oh, it's not
hello.
Hello. You're a Canadian.
I welcome you all. Thank you all for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Heis.
Hi, Heis.
Marilyn, somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hello, Anna. Good evening to you, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. So we are worldwide live through BBS Radio. Welcome all those people that are joining in online. Thank you so much for participating with the call tonight.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Heinz.
You're welcome. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
Soccer season over, Heinz?
Hey, Don. Welcome to the call, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Here, somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Lauren. I'm California.
Hey, Lauren. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thanks.
More people joined in. Welcome to you all. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to. Thank you for being here.
Wynn is with us. Hi.
I know.
Kim from Florida.
Oh, okay. Does he show up on your council?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's see. 602. I hope that Terry is with us.
Terry is here.
Hello, Wynn.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
How are you doing? How are your teeth coming along?
Well, you know, I'm healing.
All right.
I have another dentist appointment tomorrow, but I'm healing.
All right. So, let's see. 603, ready or not, Wynn, what do you think?
Ready or not, what do I think?
I didn't get to announce it.
I thought it was ready or not, here I come, not ready or not. What do you think?
I guess that's the traditional one. Well, okay, I'm just printing something.
All right.
I started the printing. Okay. This is going to be an unusual call, okay? And I'll tell you what. We're going to start.
All callers are muted.
All right.
Here we go, Wynn.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 6, 2014, Wynn and Terry in Arizona, and everyone else, wherever they are, except there's only one place. And there's only one time. So no matter where we are, separated in distance, we're not separated. And that's an illusion that we go through in the physical realm. Now, at one point, the illusion was very much, how would I say, less. Because time and space didn't hardly exist. And there was a group of awarenesses at that time, which we believe we are communicating with on these calls. And they called themselves the Elohim. And this is not the Elohim necessarily of the Old Testament, although it might be in might be partially true, but this is an Elohim that has never, according to our information, taken bodies, that exists in pure energy, and that we've experienced, those of you who are regulars on the call, many of you have experienced an energy shift while you're on the call, which they say is them projecting themselves into this realm. If you had read The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You, there was a section in there about how the Elohim created the universe. And it had to do with a group of them, or maybe all of them, or some of them, projecting frequencies together. Now, I'll never completely understand this, so I'll try to say what they said, projecting frequencies together that would intersect, and where they would intersect would become a point in space-time, i.e. the beginning of something in the physical universe where there was nothing before. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine when you're in 3D what no time and no space means, because we live in space-time. We experience time going by. We experience distance. And regardless of what we say, for example, the Hindus call this Maya, the world of illusion. And I could tell you it's a world of illusion, but the problem is the illusion is so good that even if you think that and even if you know that, it doesn't mean you can operate outside of that illusion. And some of us have learned how to expand our space where we've, particularly on these calls, many people have said they have had a distortion of time, where time goes by very quickly on the call. And I take that as a idea that somehow on this call, with the entry of energies that are external to this realm, that we are experiencing a shift in our own dimensional reality as time speeds up, and learning how do you live your life to bring that into your life. Each of us has the individual challenge of how to do that. Well, I've come to the conclusion myself that the sources we're speaking to have been so consistent now for 10 years on all the questions we've asked. So many people have had positive impact as a result, and there are, to my looking at things, there's no control patterns here. It's a free will zone. Their free will, we're free will, and we've established a free will contact that doesn't have any obligation to it. You're not supposed to worship them. You're not supposed to prostrate yourself from them, with to them. And that when I've asked them direct, do you like to be worshipped? They say no. And the traditional concept of God is not really, it can work. It can work, and you can contact the higher realms. So if you're using that as a mental image to help you transcend this dimension and to get assistance from higher realms, then you can continue using it. I'm not saying not to use it. And however you want to think of that is fine with me, because if it works, it works. And it's very hard to penetrate through the dimension. So if something is working, don't stop. But in my ongoing education about this, in many, if not all cases, one of these group souls, the Elohim group or the Ra group, will tune in to the prayers of people and have the ability to adjust reality so something can change. Recently, I watched a very fascinating movie on YouTube, which I sent out in today's email, and it was called The Signs of God's Existence. And it talked, had a bunch of scientists, actually, talking about the order of the universe, the mathematical order of the universe, with certain constants, mathematical constants They keep repeating themselves from a big level to a small level. And one of them is called the golden mean. Another is called the Fibonacci sequence. And another one, which I don't know if we're going to get to, is called the Nanova constant. And they're mathematical numbers. And I did prepare myself tonight to record some of the stuff that I found on the internet regarding these sequences. And since the Elohim have told us that they were masters at mathematics and that the universe was based on mathematical principles, I thought it would be a fascinating discussion to do a session with them and ask about some of these constants, which mathematical constants, which are measurable by science. Now, I don't know how this is going to go. It has to go through Terry's mind. Sometimes when things get too boggling, sometimes she loses it. Sometimes she goes into a deeper trance and gets it. So this is obviously not rehearsed, and we don't know how it's going to come out. And, of course, we'll also cover the Big Bang theory of the creation of the universe. Now, when you think of the Big Bang theory and you think of a source that's operating in time-space, and suddenly there's space-time. And when you think of frequencies, you know, the idea of a frequency in 3D is, well, let's just do a house current, 60 cycles per second, okay? So frequencies are measured in time. And as you go to other frequencies, as a frequency moves through timelines, what happens to the frequency? How does it change? It must change. It must be a different parameter because you can't say it's so many cycles per second because the second is the nature of time in 3D. So this conversation is going to stretch my mind. It's going to stretch your mind. You may not understand it. I may not understand it. But I thought it was worthy of a shot to see what we come up with in connecting some of these measurable mathematical constants which pervade the universe and this source that has told us and explained to us. We've had a number of calls on how the Elohim created the universe, which if you go back into the Spirit Channel, I think they're some of the most compelling calls we've done. And for some of you who are scientifically oriented, then perhaps this will further increase the conviction that this is real. Of course, I don't know what's going to happen, so it might further decrease it. When we would do these calls, at one point, I was kind of nervous about asking certain things because I said, what if they say something that is totally wrong or that doesn't match? And thus far, I don't think that's happened. Although it could happen. It could happen because Terry could screw it up through her conscious mind. It could be, who knows why. I never present this stuff as something to believe. It's something we're all exploring and learning about as we go. And for many people, this connection with these sources that have come about as a result of attending these calls has been a very positive catalytic experience. Because as you start to expand your own field into higher dimensions, the patterns that you've created in the timelines, in the past lifetimes, you start to perceive them from a higher place. And it's hard to explain this. When people are new and they just want, tell me what my past life was, tell me this, tell me that. And our sources very rarely do that. Sometimes they will say how a certain past life has impacted your present life without it going into great details of what that past life is. Some of you know that. You've heard that on the calls. You've heard them answer questions on Wednesday, and usually that's really helped someone. Because the real bottom line here, the bottom line is for each of us, how do we expand into the knowingness that we really are part of all that is? Not just the idea that we're all one, or that we're all divine, or that we're all the sons of God. How do we ingrain that in a very real way that you absolutely know that without a shadow of a doubt? And the next thing is, how do you access that? Because when you learn to access that, you become a co-creator in this realm. You get tapped into creative powers that you didn't know you had. And for all of you people that want a shift in your life from a healing to a job to being a better healer or teacher or a role, on some level, it has to be your creation. You have to create the shift. External forces can help, but you have to create the momentum. Because the truth is, the external forces, that's part of the illusion that they're external, and that in truth, they are just an expanded part of you. But you don't know that. So that part of the illusion in this realm is that they're external, and God help me, and I pray to God, and I pray to the Elohim, and that's okay to do that. It's a way of at least starting. But the goal is for each of you to own your own divinity, your own beingness, your own godliness. And when you do that, you suddenly have the ability to be of far greater service to yourself, to the people around you, and to the planet. And that's why I do these calls, in the hope that some of you will get that. So, Jerry, you're not ready, are you? Hello, Jerry. We don't hear you. Are you on mute? Hello, Jerry.
I'm unmuted. You know, some of the words that you used, I don't understand. So,
You know what? I tapped into some references for those words on the internet. So if I ask a question, before I ask it, I might read a little bit of what I looked up to tap your conscious mindset into understanding it. Okay.
So all right.
I prepared myself for that, because not only do you not understand it, most people don't understand it.
Yeah, so, I think the same thing. If I don't understand it, they might not.
So I need to make an explanation of it so people can understand it. And I highly recommend, again, after this call, watch the movie that I sent in the email today called The Signs of God's Existence. And I did mention that movie ends with a five-minute pitch for Islam. But the general content of the movie has nothing to do with any religion. It really brings in all of this scientifically measurable data that is, you know, you can't refute it exists. And things that exist in some of the mathematical relationships in the universe that have multi-billions of one odds that they should be so. And it's very compelling. If you watch the movie, they make it somewhat simple. And I thought it would be extremely interesting to query our sources on this idea. Okay?
Okay, yeah. So, I haven't watched the movie. I'll watch it later. I watched just like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I'm going to give enough information here so that not only you, but the people that are listening will grasp the nature of the question, okay?
Okay, good.
Okay? So let's call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources. Let me just see. I hope I didn't just drop out.
No, you're here.
Okay.
You're here.
Okay, I heard two little beeps. So I think I'm going to watch the screen. So if I drop out, I'll know. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present and available to go into this discussion?
Yes. This is Ra'an. It's a portion of the Elohim and a portion of the Ra group. And we are available to answer your questions. Yes,
Thank you. We are here. So, just to review, as I understand it, let me say how I understand it, and you can make any adjustments, and I'll let you make adjustments. At one point, there was no universe. In fact, at one point, there was no Elohim. At one point, there was one awareness, which you refer to as the one infinite creator. And that one awareness, it's kind of a mystery where it came from or how it became aware. And I don't know if that mystery can really be solved, but nonetheless, we'll assume that it existed. And then it was lonely and it could duplicate itself. And there became other awarenesses, and the awarenesses could duplicate themselves. And before you know it, there were a multitude, perhaps millions of awarenesses that were pure energy that didn't have bodies. There was no such thing as a body. There was no such thing as physicality. But there had to be some sense of time in order to be aware. Because to be aware, if you're just aware and there's no time, then you have no memory of what was before, what comes next. So to have the concept of being an individuated energy, there had to be the idea of the beginning idea of time. Okay, now let me just start out and turn it over to you and say, is that a fairly accurate description?
We would think of it in perhaps more basic terms, in that if you're aware, you might have the capability of awareness, but if you are aware and have the capability of awareness, but there's nothing to be aware of, then you don't really know that you are even aware, because there's no feedback that says, hey, something happened here. So if there is a potential for awareness, potential for a manifest universe, potential for life, it's not going to manifest until you have an awareness that has something to be aware of. So that's where things started to change from there being essentially a potential to there being a manifest universe, was where there was a folding over. There was a creation of space and a duplication of the one into a duplicated one. And then there was something to be aware of. And there was something to send energy back and forth and to create vibration, to create tone by bouncing it off the other awareness. So there was a folding over which created space. And this began things, sometimes it's called the Big Bang. It began things to be broken down then into reverberation. Unless there is something to reverberate, you do not even have reverberation. How is this so far?
That's pretty good so far. So, to ask the question, can you remember the place, the time before there was a Big Bang, when there were just, if we want to call them, spirit forms or energy forms? Yes?
It's hard to remember when there is nothing to remember. So,
okay.
Memory starts when there was the beginning of resonance.
And when there was the idea to create a manifest universe, I assume that started as an idea, then there had to be an intention to do that. Did all the individuated Elohim souls participate in that intention, or just some of them?
You need to, what happened was step by step, this evolved. And there was, hey, look at this. So there's a folding over of space. And there's a feeling connected with that, a pressure feeling. And what was that? And it was experimental. And it was seeing what could come next. It was shooting energy into a folded over space and seeing, hey, you know, when we fold over space and then we can get two instead of one. One is on each side and one can resonate the other. Hey, look at this. It's like a trick or a game. And then there began to, like, the 100th monkey syndrome. Entities began to develop and form. And since everything was relevant, or they had access, things were very thin, they had access to what you might call other parts. Hey, something's going on over there. And then they began to resonate. Hey, you know, hey, I get a feeling of pressure. Hey, you know, there's some, it's moving a part of me I didn't even know was. And let's see where this goes. And there was a development.
So as this was going on, I would imagine all the awarenesses paid attention to it. It was like a big deal to watch all this occur, yes?
Yeah, we went from nothing to there being a pressure, a vibration, a sound, something is existing there, even though it's just a resonance or a sound, the pressure, something happened over there. You know, hey, I wonder if I could make that happen. You know, I can, it's very hard, like somebody that doesn't have any muscles. And they're a baby that's trying to learn. And, hey, maybe I could do something like that. And I could get smaller and overlap space, and I could push it together somehow. And then, bam! And bam! And bam, 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 bam. Everyone started doing it. And, it was like fireworks.
Was everyone kind of cooperating in the same idea, or were there factions said, let's do it this way, and another faction said, let's do it this way?
There was no this way, that way. It was like, hey, let's see if we can make that happen, what happened over there. How did they do that, you know? Who was that, you know? It's like, there wasn't even a who. It's like, you know, what was that? And like a cup of thunder. Oh, you know, I think I see the vibration coming into itself. And hey, it's like when two sides collide, it makes a resonant sound. I wonder if I can do that. Oh, you know, I don't know. I can't seem to do it, you know, but I, it's like developing a route, a process, a procedure. You don't start with the end product. You go, what was that? Let's see if we can create something similar here.
Mm-hmm.
And, now, oh, yeah.
You were working with frequency, yes?
Well, it turned into frequency when it's like it would resonate through, because there would be, depending upon the amount of space that was created in the clapping in on each other. If a bigger space was resonating with another space that was bigger, I can create a big space, and I can make it sound like a drum. Well, I'm all tired out now. Maybe I'll do it again sometime.
Okay. Now, let me give an idea here. It's my understanding that as this whole thing unfolded, there were different levels of dimensions that got connected through mathematical proportions. That was later, which were called...
Yeah, and there was a natural development. Like, there was a noticing that if everything were developed with the certain ratios, then it created certain sounds. If they were created with other ratios, they just disintegrated and fell apart. So, well, let's see if we can learn how to have these certain ratios, and you can build. You can build and put these things together, and then it's like they kind of hold together in a form, and they resonate, and they even start to create light. Wow.
So you were putting things together, but you didn't really have the mathematics. You learned the mathematics as you went, instead of this thing
works
this proportion.
Eventually, there became a whole study, you know? Like, there would be a lot of failures if you put things together with the wrong ratios. They just disintegrated and fell apart. But if you put certain tones together with certain ratios, they would all resonate, like tones and lower tones and lower tones. And if you put together, like, two tones that were... not resonant with each other. It's like they would damp, and it would just fall apart. The tones wouldn't resonate and go.
Okay. Now, when...
That was a big thing in the creation of body, because if you have... the Fibonacci series to base life on, then the tones amplify each other and become a strength, a net within itself. But if you don't use a Fibonacci series, then things don't reinforce each other. The tones don't reinforce each other. And so the structure tends to fall apart. So eventually it's like, well, you know, if we're going to use if we're going to make something really fine and durable here, then if we use the Fibonacci series, it's going to survive longer.
When there was what we call the Big Bang, and from Earth 3D, the Big Bang all happened in one moment of 3D time. That's how it's looked at. From the Elohim point of view, where time is different, was there the feeling that the Big Bang actually happened slowly?
The time being different is a function of this frequency and the environment, the frequency of the oscillation of the environment that someone is in. And if they're in a very high frequency, then things happen faster because it doesn't take so long to resonate everything. It's very quick. So time is a function of other things that came along.
Okay. And this probably goes down the road, but if a frequency starts at source and moves through the dimensions and the physical, into the physical universe, and since as you move through the dimensions, time keeps moving at different speeds, what happens to the frequency? Does it keep changing according to the dimension it's moving through?
The frequency determines the rate of the time. Because when you have a very high moving frequency and things are very thin, then it doesn't take a whole lot of time to move through all the manifest at the very high frequency at the very upper level. At a lower level, there's much mass. There is much to vibrate. There is much for it to catch up with and move with. So then things are slower in the third dimension. And it takes longer. You think a thought and your thoughts really fast. But then you try and put it into the real world. Oh, my God, you got to go out and I got to get the materials to build the car. I got to get the plans. I got to put it all together. I got to get a welder. It's like it takes time to put things together in the third density that it doesn't take in the upper realms.
Okay. I get asked that question over and over again until I get an answer that I can totally comprehend. But I want to cover a couple things that I said we were going to ask about. And when we talked about some of these constants in the universe that you were just describing, that it was something that through trial and error you discovered when things were mathematically within a certain relationship to each other, it would be
they're
durable.
More stable.
They're
more
stable.
Stable when they're in a certain geometric relationship.
So let me read a little bit about what's called the golden mean or the golden ratio. And I can give you the number here. It is 1.618033988.7, going on dot, dot, dot. And that number is calculated by 1 plus the square root of 5 over 2. 1 plus the square root of 5 over 2, and it's called the golden ratio. And reading a little bit about it, some 20th century artists and architects, including Le Corbusier and Dali, have proportioned their works to approximate the golden ratio, especially in the form of the golden rectangle, in which the ratio of the longer side to the shorter is the golden ratio, believing this portion to be aesthetically pleasing. Mathematicians since Euclid have studied the properties of the golden ratio, including its appearance in the dimension of a regular pentagram and in a golden rectangle, which can be cut into a square, and a smaller rectangle with the same aspect ratio. The golden ratio has been used to analyze the proportions of natural objects as well as man-made systems, such as financial markets, in some cases based on dubious fits to the data. And then we go on down here, and we have here the golden ratio in nature. The gold, nature, Adolf Zeising, whose main interests were mathematics and philosophy, found the golden ratio expressed in the arrangement of branches along the stems of plants and of the veins of leaves. He extended his research to the skeletons of animals and the branchings of their veins and nerves to the proportion of chemical compounds and the geometry of crystals, even to the use of proportion in artistic endeavors. In these phenomena, he saw the golden ratio operating as a universal law. In connection with his scheme for golden ratio-based human body proportions, Zeising wrote in 1854 of a universal law in which is contained the ground principle of all formative striving for beauty and completeness in the realms of both nature and art, which permeates as a paramount spiritual idea all structures, forms, proportions, whether cosmic or individual, organic or inorganic, acoustic or optical, which find its fullest realization in the human form. In 2010, the journal Science reported the golden ratio is present at the atomic scale in the magnetic resonance of spins in cobalt niobate crystals. Since 1951, several researchers have proposed connections between the golden ratio and the human genome DNA. And then it goes on to the golden triangle, the golden pentagram, and more. But it seems like, and they went into this in the movie, even the proportions in the greater cosmos, the universe, are based on this ratio of 1.618033988.87 to 1, which is derived by 1 plus the square root of 5 over 2. And is there anything you can share with us about that ratio and how you discovered it, assuming you did?
Studies were made of what were optimal for survival and what ratios occurring in plants and animals would increase the length as the structure of the animals and the plants are very important to the future of that particular animal or plant. If a human whose body is properly portioned comes out of alignment, then things don't flow normally. The liquids don't flow normally. The energy doesn't flow normally. There are blockages. It was taken into account by geometric experimentation what would make a better functional body of a plant or an animal. And it was cataloged by various civilizations. And civilizations that would not take the golden mean and the Fibonacci series into account in their experimentation and tried to violate that, ended up with species that would not work, not last, had a very short lifespan. There are mathematical sections of the Elohim, and they think in mathematics. They automatically, as a language, think in mathematics, and as such, they are able to make in their mind's eye a picture, a hologram of a perfect 3D species, and it has all been mathematically worked out, and they actually think in 3D mathematics, and they think very fast, and when one would be reviewing a model for a body, they could think it through in a flash and say back to the training ground, because you don't get it. It is very important in the development of species to have background in what works. And there are mathematical geniuses that have tried to talk with Terry within our group. And just go, whoa, could you translate, please? So we have to talk at the most rudimentary level.
With the golden mean, is there a connection with the golden mean ratios and the pyramid?
Yes, sir. Built so that the structure is very durable. The ratio of the square at the base and the height and the side, slanting side, it is all taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Now, those of us that are hearing about this golden mean ratio, and it's a repeating ratio that goes through the entire universe, and I would assume it's a foundational mathematical concept that duplicates itself from the largest structures in the universe to the smallest, like atoms in DNA.
Yes, that was one of the problems in creating the original manifestation, that you had to get the angles right, and you had to get the intersections right, and you had to get the means right. And it took a lot of work to be able to manifest something like that. And mm-hmm. once one had it, it still didn't guarantee that they could just do it at will, because they had to get it exactly right for the resonant effect.
Mm-hmm. So these ratios existed, and they were inherent in even the unmanifest universe. So they had to be learned and discovered in order to manifest the universe. Do the same ratios? Yeah. In one of our questions a long time ago, we said there are other universes. In fact, it said there were five. And do they all have the same golden mean, or are they different ratios, if you know the answer to that?
We think that they would have to be built on the same mean. We give us a minute and we look. There is another model where the structures, the parts are further apart, and things are more stringy, or they are farther apart than they, but they are still working on an overtone type of manifestation. There is not much work done here in the physical universe with these, the Fibonacci series and the golden mean, and the creation of models, which has sort of put it into a stable place. However, another universe deals with more space, the different ratio, but it is similar, and it is has its own particular identity signs.
Okay, we're just about finished. At least we're not finished. This is like an endless discussion that could go on for years, but at least for this evening, we have an hour on DBS and we're 2 minutes over. The final question is there a way that a human can have any advantage in their life by understanding the golden mean? Can they build a house based on the golden mean ratio? Can they build a rectangle in their house? Can they contemplate?
They could build a pyramid in their house, which would help maintain the things, the life forms in the pyramid in a more organized manner than within their own structure, and it would tend to put the energy in that would hold their form to the golden mean. And as such, they would experience more organization in their own structure and could be beneficial for their health and future.
Years ago, I built a pyramid over my bed, and it was probably beneficial, as I recall. In any case,
yes.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us, and I don't know if people could track it. I hope so. And if you enjoyed tonight, send me an email, and we'll do some more in-depth conversations about the mathematics of the universe. And thank you, BBS, for not cutting us off. And we'll see you all with your questions on Wednesday.
This was an exciting topic for us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I thought it was exciting, too.
All callers are unmuted.